The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. By the way, in other news out there, this is really interesting. You and I talking about this in our pre-show meeting and in a couple of conversations in our mid-show meetings.
Mm-hmm.
We're always meeting. When we're not on the air, we're meeting.
We are.
The Illinois judge that yesterday ordered Empire actor Jussie Smollett's criminal case file unsealed, setting up the release of a wealth of information surrounding the controversial and often confusing case. This is from Fox News. Cook County Judge Stephen Watkins' decision came months after the event actually happened. First, Smollett alleged he had been the victim of a hate crime. After an extensive investigation, Chicago cops arrested Smollett and accused him of faking the supposed attack, and then Cook County prosecutors suddenly dropped the charges against Smollett, and his case was sealed, but not anymore. When the state's attorney asked whether the office could have more time to redact personal information from the files, the judge advised prosecutors to, quote, act as if the documents were never sealed in the first place, end of quote.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to get heated in Chicago. You know, if you look at all the police work that was done on that case, all the manpower that went into that case and the investigation initially on those initial claims by Smollett, that's the contention. When you lose the argument with Rahm Emanuel, you've gone too far. It doesn't matter who you are, but if you're on the left and you're a Trump hater and you lose with Rahm Emanuel, you've gone too far. So it'll be interesting to see what all we learned from that. No reason to seal it. That's basically what the judge said. Absolutely zero reason to have this sealed.
It looks like yesterday was the day that everything seems to be getting to the point of being unsealed.
You know, that's interesting because we've had a lot of our friends call, you know, our listeners, and say on the whole Mueller thing, well, this is, you know, they're burying this, they're hiding this, and they're doing this. And we've been saying all along, at some point, the truth will come out. We don't know when that will be, but we're getting great indication now that we're getting closer to that. That coming after you had Mark Meadows on Sean Hannity on Fox News saying there will be information that comes out in the coming days that will curl your hair. The president now allowing the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, to release information. And I think we're going to learn a lot of things over the next couple of weeks. Here's what's interesting is the president said, I'm not going to declassify this. This goes back to last fall. Well, I'm not going to declassify this information. But if they come at me, then I'll use it. It'll be my ace in the hole, essentially. And, well, here we are. Impeachment has been the word of the week. And now you're seeing movement. Okay, you want to expose the truth? You really want the truth? And we've said, whether it's Devin Nunes, Mark Meadows, or anyone else on the right, if you're saying there's, you know, if you're going to be using words like, you know, information that will curl your hair, or as the left media used to say, bombshell, 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 if you're going to say that, you need to live up to it. In fact, you don't need to use those words. Just let the information come out and let the truth speak for itself. And we'll see if that happens in the coming days. But according to Mark Meadows, saying it's not going to be days.
Or weeks.
It's not going to be weeks, rather. It's going to be days. So that tells us. Well, here's the other thing, too. Remember what Attorney General Barr said in his testimony a couple of weeks ago? That the IG report, he expects that sometime in May or June. Well, June is just days away. So, will this information be part of the IG report? Is this information that's coming from the Justice Department or all the above? That's the question.
Yeah, I don't know specifically this, because here it is. President Trump on Thursday night issued a memo giving Attorney General William Barr the authority to declassify any documents related to surveillance of the Trump campaign in 2016. Now, that's a wide area. Does that mean, I guess that means anything that he wishes to release.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because that would go to the heart, because the surveillance goes right to the FISA warrant. So you're talking about what the IG got. Mm-hmm. You're talking anything of surveillance of the Trump campaign in 2016. Now, here's the other thing, too. There has also been the question out there, were there other FISA warrants we don't know about?
Right. How many would there be? Right.
Right. Because that has been talked about. That has been talked about that part of the, that there's been a whole tie-in. Joe DiGenova was talking about that on Fox. That he said remember when the FISA court rebuked the Obama administration, when was it Admiral Rogers, I think, who went right at the last portion of the he said he may end up being the hero of all of this, because he's the one in the Obama administration that went to the FISA court just a couple of weeks before the election and said, we haven't been following what you told us to do since 2011.
Yeah, that was October 26, right. 2016 when
right.
that happened.
That we haven't been, now, does it go back there? Because there had to be other FISA warrants that were issued.
Right.
And did they go to other satellite persons involved in the Trump campaign? If the president said anything of certain, not, he didn't say Carter Page, anything to do with surveillance of the 2016 election. Does this mean this is a lot more widespread? And let me ask you this. If it goes to surveillance of the Trump campaign, does it go all the way up to, cover everything that the former UN ambassador claimed when it came to unmasking that she was involved in? Because unmasking is all about surveillance.
Right.
So is he telling the Attorney General to release anything? The whole ball of wax that we have talked about, and just to put that into perspective quickly here, hopefully under a minute, does this mean that you start with, you know, you've got, remember, the Hillary campaign and the DNC, who funneled the money to the law firm, who funneled the money then to Fusion GPS, who then gave it to the former British spy, who then claims he went to the Kremlin and got all the information for the dossier, which was then used by the FBI Department of Justice with input from the intelligence agencies to get a FISA warrant to spy on Carter Page. But then afterwards, it was promoted by both the FBI and the intelligence leaders in this country after that to be disseminated, to be given to all the intelligence agencies, to open them all up in order for it to leak, because that was their goal, to get the dossier to leak in order to destroy the legitimacy of the 2016 election. So you've got a lot to cover there, but then also whatever FISA warrants they got to surveil anybody, then we know, to take that other direction, that it was a former UN ambassador who was accused of unmasking. That means getting the names and being able to listen to any of the surveillance that was done, and it was done dozens, possibly hundreds of times. And why would the former U.S. ambassador, Samantha Power?
Yes.
Why would she be looking? Why would she be unmasking? And they found out when she testified, as Trey Gowdy said, she said, I didn't do that.
Right.
Which means what? That means somebody forged her credentials in order to get in to look at it, as we have talked about before. That's been a very little talked about part of this entire thing, which gets into massive possible law breaking there. But if you're talking about surveillance of the Trump campaign, you can declassify all that at that point, correct?
Absolutely. Because what was that entire pattern of behavior there in that election cycle? Rand Paul, he says he was included.
He believes he was included, yes, in the surveillance.
So was the practice, because they couldn't have known. You get certain numbers that tell you who maybe at some point someone becomes the presumptive nominee, which happens in every primary season. But the claims say this goes back, some are saying this goes back to pre-2016. Well, they couldn't have known who the nominee was going to be, so they're doing the math, which means if you're trying to do surveillance on any of them, right? Or you're trying to do surveillance on ultimately the one that is going to be the one who runs against Hillary, the nominee. But if the approach was, wait a minute, who's got the best odds here? We'll just focus on this group. Because if it's true, the claims that it went back to 2015, then they would have to be looking at multiple people if they're looking at spying on campaigns. They couldn't have possibly known that it would be, Trump would be the nominee at that point.
Here's my question. If it wasn't your political opponents that you were looking at, then who was it? Who was it that Rogers went to at the end of right after the FISA warrant was issued for Carter Page, the first one?
Right. It was just days after
and
that.
That's when and that's when he went to the FISA court.
Right.
And said, we haven't been following the rules and regulations since 2011. That's a five-year period. We haven't been following it. And the FISA court, the next April, came out and said, you have been breaking the law. You've been violating American citizens' constitutional rights. If it wasn't other members of other presidential campaigns, what Americans were?
And 2011 would have been the beginning of the 2012 election.
In 2011, 2012, 2013. Remember who the FBI director was all the way up until 2013?
Mueller.
And then after that, Comey.
Yep.
When we heard, the fact that, well, remember Comey said, well, you know, in surveillance like this on people is quite common. And you and I went, whoa. Really?
Mm.
Oh, maybe it was for you. Maybe it had been commonplace in the FBI.
Right.
Because somebody in the FBI up high, if they were violating Americans' constitutional rights by getting FISA warrants, that was somebody high up in the FBI that was doing it.
Yes.
Because Comey said himself, everybody knew. So if everybody knew and they were violating it from 2011 to 2016, it was Mueller, it was Comey.
There's no way it wasn't.
Or the people right underneath them.
Strzok.
I'm just throwing that out. I don't know. Now that to me is curling your hair.
Yeah.
Finding out if that information's out there, that classified information's declassified, if it wasn't Samantha Powers unmasking, doing the massive unmasking, then who did it? And who took her credentials or forged her credentials? And what were they looking at? And who was being surveilled?
And who would be in a position that would feel brazen enough to do that? To use her credentials to do the unmasking?
Someone pretty high up in the intelligence agencies, would it not be?
Yes. Quite possibly at a director level.
And so is that what's going to curl the hair? Nunes saying, conspiracy on that FISA warrant. Conspiracy to commit fraud and getting a FISA warrant. Those are all crimes they're talking about. That's why we said last hour, they better not be overhyping what they have.
Yeah, don't let's not play that game.
I know. Well, the thing is, I know that the Attorney General. I don't believe the Attorney General will have it either.
I don't think
because
William Barr will.
Because it gets to the same point for the Republicans as it does to the Democrats. What's the evidence?
Right.
Can you connect the dots? For the Democrats, they're still screaming that Trump needs to be impeached and nobody can identify what the crime is.
Right.
Still. Nobody's connected any dots in the Democrats with their, you know, accusations against the president. None.
I wouldn't want to miss work next week.
I know.
Chuck Todd. Yeah. If Meadows is right, it's going to happen over the next couple of weeks. That was the promise. Not weeks, days, which means, okay, quite possibly next week.
866-90-RUD-EYE.
Road check is a critical aspect of the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance's strategy for keeping our highways safe. This year, the inspection blitz will take place June 4th through the 6th and will focus on steering and suspension systems. In addition to steering and suspension, check your vehicle's brake systems, cargo securement, coupling devices, fuel and exhaust systems, tires, wheels, rims, and hubs for compliance to help avoid being placed out of service. To help you hit the road with confidence, we're offering a free mid-trip inspection at participating TA truck service locations May 1st through June 6th. Our expert technicians will perform a non-measured inspection that includes your tire tread depth, air leaks, wheel seals, and more. Stop into a participating TA truck service to get your free mid-trip inspection today.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RUD-EYE. Let's go to Paul in San Francisco. Paul, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Paul.
Thank you very much. Julius, show. My point is I'm really frustrated that the pushback by the Republicans against what the Democrats have been doing is so slow-paced. My concern is that at the rate we're going, exposing these bad actors on the left, you know, it's going to be years. I feel as though it's taken way too long, and that it's been very sluggish as far as fighting back. You know, right now, and I hear Sean Hannity and others saying any day now, we're going to have a blockbuster this, blockbuster breakthrough news, but somehow it never is weighty enough to get moving. I don't know.
I expressed that same thing, that same concern, Paul, and thank you for the call, that Nunes and others have said, okay, dude, this is what is going to happen, this is what is going to happen, and they planted a lot of seeds. But as Gary pointed out just a moment ago, William Barr is not that. He is not that kind of person, and in this role, I suspect, if that's where it's coming from, if there's going to be anything that comes out, and we do know the IG report is coming out. Horowitz
right.
does not take that approach either. So I think it's very quite possible that we are going right. to learn some very important things.
But
I don't know if they're
but here's
going to
the
curl
point.
Your hair
here's,
or not.
Here's the point. Meadows saying it's coming out in days.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that.
Right.
We don't know what the Attorney General's timeline is.
Right.
Now, the Inspector General, he may know that the Inspector General report's done.
Yeah.
And so that information, that report may be coming
right.
out in the next few days.
Right.
But the president said the AG has the authority to, you know, release the classified materials. We don't know when he will, though.
Right. And that's the question. And what kind of, I guess, presentation will the Inspector General have? That's a very different approach than the political approach.
The Bonus Show.
Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 of Red Eye. Look, to the last caller, I would rather it take a little bit more time, and you have all your ducks in a row. And when you come out, when you the Attorney General finally comes out, you know, with his with everything, that it's slam dunk. I'd rather have that than the immediacy of the Democrats new allegations every day that nothing sticks.
Friend of mine is a detective, and he said one of the for three decades now. He said one of the frustrating things is knowing that you caught the person responsible, but then, of course, the prosecutor has a different cadence, has a totally different schedule or timeline, and it's not going to. You've got to be able to put the pieces of the puzzle together, and you've got to move forward with it in order to make sure that that person is going to be held responsible. So if the Attorney General isn't going to approach this with the, you know, all of the evidence, the federal prosecutor that's involved here now, as well, if they're going to do this with some kind of political bent or other mission beyond justice, then it's going to end badly. It's not going to go well. And justice does take time in order to get the evidence, because it's not just about finding any evidence related to the items that we already know happened. It's also that whole tip of the iceberg thing that we touched on earlier, that the FISA courts were rebuking the Obama administration going back to 2011. What were they doing? And that's the question. How many other items would there be? Forget about just Donald Trump or the Trump campaign.
Remember, you have the IG report, which should be coming out here at least in the next month. We know that.
Right.
Probably next couple of weeks. You have U.S. Attorney John Huber, who has been for the last 18 months looking at the FBI's handling of sensitive political investigations. That's been going on for 18 months. That's a pretty long time. You now have the Connecticut attorney general looking into everything, actually for the attorney general, right? The federal attorney. Mm-hmm. So you've got three different investigations going on. One almost complete, one going on for 18 months, the other that will have access to all that information, plus the information of the House Intelligence Committee, which has completed their report, and we know criminal referrals. What was there? 8 criminal referrals out of that, but we don't know the specifics on it. So it isn't as if, and then you also have the Senate. And their investigation, which is not yet complete. So you have all of those investigations, many of them going on for a significant period of time. The Inspector General, I think, for almost a year, which should be completed any time now. John Huber's investigation, which is now 18 months old. And the House Intelligence Committee, which is finished. So you've progressed a pretty long way. Odds are, I would say, in the next 6 months to a year before the election, I believe that the Attorney General will come to some type of conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that things will start leaking. I think that the Inspector General, if he puts out a report, that will be public.
Right.
There may be redacted parts of it, but it will be public. And is that what Mark Meadows is referring to?
Right, yeah.
Because I think we need to be a little bit cautious before we jump on to say that what happened yesterday was Trump said he's releasing everything, because that's not what was said.
No.
What was said was he's giving the Attorney General the permission to release previously classified information. But the Attorney General will release it when he probably believes it will aid the investigation, or he is done with that part of the investigation.
Okay, so here would be my question, too. Is it also the fact that the federal prosecutor, his hands are tied here because he doesn't have access to classified information? He does not have the clearance that the attorney general might have. And in order for him to complete his job, he's going to have access to information that could be key elements in that.
I think the prosecutor under the attorney general
has the same clearance.
I would assume in order to look into it, you would get that clearance.
I would think so.
Trump's doing it in order to get more information out. I think he's had enough.
Yes. No, that's exactly what I sense, but I had to ask that question because do you have to declassify things if you assign it, if the Department of Justice assigns a case? Look, this is all new territory.
Because if you were looking at the president, you knew that the classified information existed, mm-hmm. and the president had committed a crime, mm-hmm. you could get that classified information. If you're part of the Justice Department, you would be able to get that higher security clearance to get what you needed if the trail led, you know, to the president. The president couldn't deny you a look at that. The president can declassify, but he can't keep an investigation from shutting down the clearance of the Justice Department. At that point, that would be viewed as obstruction.
Yeah, well, the only reason I ask it is that name another case at this level, potentially, where this could go. And we haven't seen it. It's unprecedented.
Yeah, I just haven't heard that. Yeah, nobody's given that explanation.
Yeah, I haven't either. I'm just asking the question.
Right.
And the fact that we're in uncharted territory. This is amazing. If you think about where this could go.
Oh, I know.
How big this is.
But I think that's why the public has to that's why we said when we started out today's show, you got to forget, we played the audio cut of the president and what he said yesterday, and everybody's been playing, you know, Schumer and Pelosi and the back and forth, and both are insane and everything else. That's the sideshow. That's just the show. That's not the substance beneath it. The substance beneath it is what the media doesn't want to touch. The substance, when you see, for example, how many articles did I see? Well, Pelosi seems to have gotten to Trump, and Trump is responding in a way. Did you see the editorial piece by the guy, the op-ed piece in Fox News yesterday on the Fox News website, from the guy who was pounding on Trump? Trump gave up a great infrastructure program because he's just insane. This was in Fox News. I forgot the guy worked for what's his name? The former senator from Nevada. And he had an op-ed piece that when you went...
Harry Reid?
Yeah, well, he worked for Harry Reid. This guy worked for Harry Reid, and he had an op-ed piece. Fox News put it in a prominent place on their app yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And it was prominent place. It was page one. I'm like, who's this guy? And just blasting Trump. Well, that's the sideshow surrounding it. What really matters is, as we've said all along, what do the Democrats, what the allegations that they're making, is it backed up by any evidence?
Right.
And it's not. It never has been. The point they're trying to make for impeachment now is the fact that Trump won't let his former closest advisors go before Congress. He doesn't have to.
No.
Oh, so you're going to impeach a president because you believe that separation of powers doesn't matter? Go ahead. Go down that road if you wish to. I mean, that's what they're saying. And so now that they know they don't have a point there, they're trying to, you know, it's funny because we see, is the president trying to get the Democrats to impeach him? Well, I think it's the opposite. I think the Democrats are trying to get the president off of his game.
Right.
I think they're throwing all these allegations at him to get him off his game.
Right.
Oh, it's just very unstable. Who walks into a meeting like that, furious and everything else, and the president coming back with his advisors who said he wasn't furious. He just walked in and said, sorry, you're going to play that kind of game? We're not going to do it. And turned around and walked out, but there was no yelling. He wasn't the description. But all that doesn't matter. That's the sideshow. What matters is the substance of the allegations of wrongdoing by the Democrats versus the substance of the wrongdoing that we have actually found out and know and can connect the dots, not just allegations, but the substance of the evidence that exists and the quality of the evidence that exists that points to the wrongdoing actually came from Democrats in the Obama administration. That's where it is. I know it's tough to go through days like yesterday for people where they're like, it seems like the Democrats are winning because their rhetoric is louder than the media's pounding it. There's a reason. It's pure panic.
I remember years ago, I told a bandmate who soon after became an ex-bandmate, just because you turn your amp up doesn't mean you're a better guitar player. By turning the amp up, you do not improve your playing skills.
I don't know. Nigel thought different.
Mine goes to 11. This is what the Democrats believe. They believe if they shout loud enough, they'll be right.
I mean, when you saw it yesterday, I mean, now the thing is they're trying to go back to what they did, a couple of years ago, and he's mentally unstable.
Yeah.
He wants to be impeached. That shows you how nuts he is. Mm-hmm. And since he wants to be impeached because he believes it will help him politically, then we shouldn't impeach him. To which then the far left says, well, no, we should impeach him because if he's crazy enough to wish to be impeached, then we should impeach him because we can't have that kind of crazy. That's really what's going on with the Democrats right now, because there is no substance to their actual argument for impeachment.
Nancy, I have 5 kids and 9 grandkids. I know what childish behavior looks like. That's the whole thing.
Yeah,
these are the talking points.
Yes. And what we're telling you is ignore all of that.
Well, it's funny because
her
response to his alleged behavior, which there's no evidence of that, her response was, I know you are, but what am I?
Yes. That's what it was like.
Yes. I'm sorry. Who has 5 kids and 9 grandkids? I've seen that play out many times in my own living room, Ms. Pelosi. So it's not going to work. And for those out there that are waiting for justice, I'm not going to say, look, don't hold your breath. Take a breath. In fact, take a breath, because I do believe we are going to learn a number of things in the coming weeks. Whether Mark Meadows is right and it curls your hair or not, that I can't tell you. But I do believe a number of things are going to come out. And I believe that because William Barr talking about the IG report, that alone, I think, could be huge.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley. I'm Gary McNamara. Can't forget that it is Memorial Day, and just want to do this right now because you're heading out here in just a couple of moments. You're going to let me do the last hour alone because you are heading out to
golf.
So I have to let him
playing.
Go. I have no choice.
I've got to go to. I'm heading out to co-host the WBAP Morning News with my longtime friend and longtime host of that show, Hal J, this morning, filling in for the very capable Brian Estridge, who's on vacation, who is incredibly talented and taking some much needed time off. But I'm headed over there, and it's the Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial, and I might learn something. You know, I was at the Byron Nelson a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. You didn't learn anything.
Nothing. No. I'm trying, though. I'm trying. But
I'm wasting my time allowing you to go over.
I know. I'm gonna make a really great effort at it. But you're also going to head out, and Gary, Mary, and Jerry, your friends Mary and Jerry, will be hanging out over the weekend. So I want you to enjoy your time there. But I'm always grateful, but especially this weekend, always take time to think about, what we have available to us, this conversation that we can have every night, the things that we can do, the choices that we can make. I was with my daughter and her classmates yesterday and all the great opportunities that lie in front of them. And it's just terrific. And it's not possible without liberty. And liberty has to be defended.
And it's not possible, and we can never take for granted what we have. I know we have a job, and the listeners, they listen to this because we talk about the problems and challenges that we have in society, and sometimes it gets quite heated. But understand that we're here. We're alive. And the only reason that we're here and we're able to do these things is because there are other human beings, other Americans, that sacrificed everything in order for us to have what we have here today. And that can't be ever forgotten.
You know, sometimes you get involved in all the noise coming out of all of this, and it's important to sift through it, but at the end of it, a free society is a just society, and we get along as a nation day to day, you know, and it's a great thing. Happy Memorial Day.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric got out of here a little early today to go to a golf tournament. Of course he's got to go. Anything to do to get golf on his mind. One of these days he's going to come out golfing with me, I think. But a really interesting day yesterday. You ready for some of the audio cuts from yesterday? Are you ready? Because now this is a sideshow. This isn't the substance of the argument that we'll get here in a moment. And you can't get too caught up in all of this. You have to keep your eye on the prize, which is, okay, what do they have on each other? Both sides making allegations, but who has the stronger case? But this was part of the show yesterday.
So I was extremely calm. I was probably even more so in that room. So I walked into the cabinet room. You had the group, Crying Chuck, Crazy Nancy. I tell you what, I've been watching her, and I have been watching her for a long period of time. She's not the same person. She's lost it.
Look, I think his activities are hurting the country in every way, in so many ways anyway. And to walk out on an infrastructure proposal where we clearly need one and it'll employ millions of people is not doing his job as president. Presidents don't walk out. They try to sit down and persuade and negotiate.
So it was a zoo on social media yesterday, as you know, was expected. But as Eric and I said earlier in the show, you have to ignore days like yesterday and say, okay, what's this all about? When you break it down, what's it about? And it's pretty easy. The Democrats don't have anything, and they know what's coming at them. You had some Democrats who believe that way. Other Democrats on the far left are just furious. They were sold a bill of goods over the last 2.5 years that, hey, this president's going down. He's treasonous. He colluded with the Russians. Adam Schiff, for a couple of years, been stating the fact that he has seen the treasonous collusion. They were sold a bill of goods. They were lied to by their leadership. It wasn't there. It never was there. And now they're grasping for straws. And so I think it's a combination, depending on what segment of the Democrat Party that you're talking to right now. What we found really interesting, because Nancy Pelosi did the same thing yesterday. Nancy Pelosi was talking about the fact that Trump actually wants to be impeached. And we had brought that up yesterday. That seems to be a narrative that is coming from a lot of Democrats that, you know, this is what, you know, this seems to be what he actually wants to happen to him. And we were wondering why the Democrats are doing that. We think that's part of the leadership that doesn't believe that they can control what's coming out from the far left. And so the only thing that they're thinking, maybe this will help, if we tell the far left, if we go out there and we tell everybody, and they can see us telling Americans that, look, this is what Trump wants, well, then maybe they won't give Trump what he wants. Because we can't figure that out. There would be no other reason to do that. But, again, the back and forth going on, but it comes down to the fact of what are the allegations that they're making. They're making the allegations that, you know, again, she said, you know, Trump covered up. Covered up what? That's a serious charge when it comes from the Speaker of the House. We believe the president's covering up and, you know, this could be on the road to impeachment. For what? You don't have anything. The Republicans do. Or the Republicans are saying that they do. We actually haven't seen it all yet. Now, we can tell you what's publicly known already. And if I'm a Democrat, I'm worried what we publicly know. But then yesterday, the president came out and issued a memo giving Attorney General William Barr the authority to declassify any documents related to surveillance of the Trump campaign in 2016. Eric and I earlier went over the whole thing. Wow, what does that mean? Surveillance, boy, that can cover a huge, huge wide area, not just Carter Page, but other surveillance that might have been done. Trump also ordered the intelligence agencies to cooperate with William Barr. The memo read, the heads of elements of the intelligence community and the heads of each department or agency that includes an element of the intelligence community shall promptly provide such assistance and information as the Attorney General may request in connection with that review. Today, at the request and recommendation of the Attorney General of the United States, President Donald Trump directed the intelligence community to quickly and fully cooperate with the Attorney General's investigation into surveillance activities during the 2016 presidential election, the White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said. The Attorney General has also been delegated full and complete authority to declassify information pertaining to this investigation in accordance with the long-established standards for handling classified information. Today's action will help ensure that all Americans learn the truth about the events that occurred and the actions that were taken during the last presidential election and will restore confidence in public institutions. Yesterday was a loud day. As we said earlier, this was the Democrats, the last couple of days, taking it up to 11. I believe there's a lot of panic going on in some areas of the Democrat Party, and the others, the other is just absolute emotional delusion that they were sold a bill of goods for a couple of years and nothing's come of it, really. And so they're really, 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 really ticked off. So they want to do anything. They wish to strike out. Because what we've heard on impeachment is what? The last we heard was he obstructed justice, maybe not legally, but he's obstructing the investigation of Gerald Nadler's Judiciary Committee by withholding his ex-closest presidential advisors from testifying, which he has the absolute right to do. Their argument is, well, Barr doesn't get that McGahn, his former White House attorney, doesn't get that executor privilege because he waived it when he testified before Robert Mueller. That has no legal bearing because Robert Mueller is, because he's still on the job technically, is a part of the executive branch and not the legislative branch. Now, I know this may confuse some Democrats out there who don't understand the three branches of government and the separation of powers. Anybody who understands the separation of powers knows the difference. The Democrats are depending on the fact that they believe that the majority of the people that follow them and vote for them are completely ignorant on that issue. On the other side, we'll see what we get. We know what we have. We have stated this for the last 2.5 years, that by the Democrats' standard, it was the Democrats that colluded with the Russians to change the outcome of the election, not the Republicans. We've laid it out many times before. As you notice, the media seems to be covering the show part of it, but not the substance part of it. They're covering the fact, oh, Nancy Pelosi is really showing him. Okay. Yeah, go with that. Yeah, go ahead. They're going with, they're reporting the show with, you know, from their own perspective. Now, you had Mark Meadows came out last night on Sean Hannity on Fox News and said, we're going to know in days, not weeks. Now, what did he mean by that? We don't know. Does that mean the Inspector General's report will be out by that time? We don't know. There's no guarantee that the Attorney General will declassify anything soon. We don't know that. The president didn't say the Attorney General must release it today. That's part of the complaint we got from some callers, some Republicans who said, come on, it's taking so long. We need to get this done before the 2020 election. I believe it will be done before then, because one of the investigations is done, the House, and the other has been going on for 18 months with John Huber. So, and the Inspector General's report will be coming out in the next couple of weeks. So a lot of the majority of the investigations have been carried on for the longest time. And the one new investigation that the Attorney General's doing himself by appointing the Connecticut federal attorney to do it can tap into all the investigations that have been done so far. And then there's the one Senate investigation that's been going on for a while. When they'll be done with that, who knows? But that's where we are right now. But it doesn't look good for Democrats. We said this a month ago, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. It's going to get to insane levels. And just understand, when the Democrats go insane, it means they're panicking. And right now they are panicking. And Pelosi doesn't know where to go. The media is trying to make it sound like that it's the Republicans and the White House that are panicking. They may not be the most well-organized, and they may not respond in the way that I would wish for them to respond. But if you know the facts of the case, and you know what's going on, you know that the party that's panicking and the group of people that are panicking are the Democrats, not Trump. That's not what's going on in the world. It's standard operating procedure at the White House. Yeah, that can be a little crazy at times, but that doesn't mean that they're panicking. The panic is coming from the Democrats, and we've told you how you can figure that out. The whole analogy now that, oh, Trump wants to be impeached. And everybody's saying that. Well, where's that coming from? That's coming from the leadership who believes that's their only defense for the far left. Don't give Trump what he wants. He wants to be impeached. They really don't want to go down the impeachment road. I don't think Nancy doesn't. I think she believes that they'll lose. There are other there really are no moderate Democrats. There are Democrats that are in swing districts that are scared to death because they don't have a huge lead in the House. And they don't have, as we said, when you look at the Clinton impeachment, hey, lied to a grand jury. Wasn't about sex, lied to a grand jury. They can't even tell you why. There's a general allegation. Well, obstruction of something, but we can't really describe what it is. He won't let people testify. We'll impeach him for that. Yeah, go ahead. That never happens in an administration. Yeah, presidents get impeached for that all the time because they won't let their closest advisors or former advisors speak to the opposition party. Well, they don't have to. Separation of powers argument. So there's where we are. We'll see where it goes, and we'll see if it is true. And as Eric and I said earlier to some of these Republicans who are saying, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. You have a very antsy group of Republicans out there wanting it to come out, and you keep promising it's going to be soon and it's going to be good. Well, it better. 866-90-RED-EYE.
USDA has unveiled a set of actions aimed at helping farmers in response to trade damage and disruption.
The package we're announcing today ensures that farmers will not bear the brunt of those trade practices by China or any other nation.
That was Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue.
While farmers themselves will tell you they'd rather have trade than aid, without the trade that has been possible, then they're going to need some support from a profitability standpoint. We honestly and sincerely know and believe that it is a food security issue. issue, which leads to a national security issue.
USDA Chief Economist Rob Johansson says the package is similar to last year's.
But we are looking back a number of years to look at what China has purchased from us in the past, and we are bringing that into our baseline for applying those tariffs to. So that does get us to a slightly larger number than we had last year, which is reflected in the $16 billion level that the Secretary mentioned, as opposed to the $12 billion level which we had last year.
For more information, go to USDA.gov. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley. He has the hour off. I'm Gary McNamara, and I am here. The Trump administration and other news out there rolled out a $16 billion farm aid program yesterday. Stock market taking a hit now. I was just reading an article from CNBC. Wall Street is becoming convinced the trade war is here to stay and will only get worse. You had the New York Fed that came out and said that the tariffs costing each household $831. That would basically be, you know, a significant portion of the tax cuts that most American families made last year. You see the stock market taking a hit. Wall Street now becoming convinced the trade war is here to stay and will only get worse. One of the reasons that the stock market was tempered a couple of weeks ago was the president coming out and the White House indicating that this would be done in 3 weeks. If it's not, it could be a different story. We talked to you yesterday about UBS, the financial firm, who put out their prediction that 12,000 brick-and-mortar stores could be gone. And what they did was they figured out what the price of the tariffs were, what products would be tariffed or would be retaliated upon. And they said, okay, we need to find out what the cost would be to the average brick-and-mortar and who would be most vulnerable. And so they found brick-and-mortar that had 3% or less profit margin and said these are the ones that are seriously in jeopardy of not being able to pass the full cost on to the customer, which would lose their profit margin and mean they might go out of business. And they had at risk at least 12,000 different brick-and-mortars across the United States. And they said if we're wrong, completely wrong, and it's only half of it, it's still a huge impact. So that coming out and more news coming out about not great investment from companies and retail sales down also in the first quarter. And there seems to be some worry in the White House. I believe that the White House was disappointed and really was hoping to get some type of infrastructure plan done, because if they could get $200 billion a year pumped into the economy, whether it was borrowed, whether it was taxed, especially if it was just borrowed, or they came up with another way to raise the money or just borrow the money, that would help the GDP. So I believe that inside the White House, parts of the White House, maybe the Larry Kudlow portion of the White House, the president's chief economic advisor, there is some worried about what a long trade war would actually do and how much it would cost not just American consumers, but what it would do to GDP growth and what it would do for the confidence of companies to invest. So that's really where the biggest concern is right now, is how long will this trade war actually last? Another story that I just found was just great. Where did this Washington Times article? Did you know, first debate just about a month away, the first Democrat debate, do you know there's going to be 20 chairs? There are going to be 20 people, 20 of the candidates in the first debate. How can you do a debate with 20 people? Is it even possible? It is going to be fun. It is time for your national forecast.
It is tornado season in the nation's heartland. Actually, within 2 weeks from now is when the peak of this season occurs. And just this past week, we will have most likely noted 200 reports of tornadoes, deadly tornadoes across the Midwest. And now comes a lot of the flooding that's been associated with these severe storms and heavy rain from the upper Missouri down through the Mississippi. We'll see flooding continue for the next several days. As we go through your Friday, another low-pressure system is developing in the northern plains. That'll bring a frontal boundary into western Texas to fire off some late-afternoon thunderstorms today. We'll see primarily rain from Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, and into Wisconsin from this system, and snow showers for the central Rockies. Scattered rain and snow for the Pacific Northwest, mainly tomorrow. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the hour off. He's going golfing. Ah, okay, he's not really going golfing. All right, I want to play this audio cut because we had talked about this audio cut. We had played a few others, but did play this one. I want to play. This was Devin Nunes on Wednesday night. Devin Nunes, who was a ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee. And we, again, with everything coming out last night, the president directing the attorney general to release, to declassify information when he sees fit to declassify it concerning surveillance in 2016. That is a good thing. As we know, Devin Nunes, when he was the head of the House Intelligence Committee, when the Republicans ran it, they had filed their report and everything else and already had put in 8 criminal referrals. We don't know who those criminal referrals are actually targeting, but this is one of the criminal referrals that he told Sean Hannity on Fox News 2 nights ago.
Well, we made a criminal referral that there was a conspiracy to fraud the FISA court. We also made one that there was also a conspiracy to manipulate intelligence.
Okay, just right there. I mean, that those are two of the important things that if that comes out, if the attorney general ever releases that, because those are crimes. And we had talked about earlier when Mark Meadows had said, what's going to come out is going to curl your hair. And he wasn't specific, so he said, does he mean the inspector general? Because we said curl your hair means to me crimes that were committed by people in the Obama administration. Or how far does it go up in the administration? Those would be the things that will curl my hair. Devin Nunes stating there the criminal referral, both on a conspiracy to commit fraud and a FISA warrant. That's jail time. And manipulation of intelligence. Another criminal referral, most likely would be jail time. Those are serious charges. We bring this up to let you know that the debate going on and the insanity that we saw yesterday, you have to just sort of let pass by. You have to dig deeper and say, okay, what is the, they're making allegations, but what is the evidence of the allegations? And what's the allegation to begin with? What Eric and I got the biggest kick out of is even now, after the Mueller report, now they're screaming impeachment. And what do they have? What do they have? It's the same old obstruction of justice argument, but they haven't used that this week. They were using the obstruction of justice argument and seemed to let that one go in the last week. And now they've seemed to change course and move the goalpost that he needs to be impeached because he won't let his former close White House advisors testify before Gerald Nadler's Judiciary Committee. Well, he doesn't have to. That's the separation of powers. He doesn't have to. And we gave the example. People say, well, why doesn't he have to? Because Nadler, can the president tell Nadler he has to report to him? And that Trump's going to put together a panel of the executive branch and interview Nadler? And Nadler is required to be there? No, there's separation of powers. Now, on William Barr, for example, he has to testify in front of Congress. He doesn't have to testify to their lawyers. Doesn't have to ask questions or answer questions from their lawyers. Congressional members, yes, which he was willing to do. But in none of those cases, as we said, go ahead. You want to go for impeachment on that? Go for it. See where that gets you. And that's why I believe you saw the crazy Trump allegation come out yesterday. I think that's twofold. They want to try to start this thing again that Trump is, you know, mentally unstable to hold the presidency, and that will be the reason for impeachment. And part of that reasoning, I know they haven't connected all the dots. They don't connect any dots, and I'm almost embarrassed saying this, but their next one is Trump is so crazy, he's so mentally unstable, that he wants us to impeach him. And I believe that's twofold. The one message they're trying to send out to the public, I don't think it'll work, is Trump is so crazy, he wishes to be impeached. And the other message is, and that's just the general message of Trump is crazy, and then the other message is that you on the left, do you really want to impeach this guy? It's what he wants. That is how messed up they are. The media is trying to portray that the White House is all screwed up. It's not. It's standard operating procedure. Now, at times, it may seem like it's screwed up, but they're not panicking. What you're seeing from Democrats is pure panic. But I just wanted to play that there from Devin Nunes because, to me, that's important. A couple of other news items out there. The House passes a bill making big changes in the U.S. retirement system. The two major changes on it, and I haven't read the legislation precisely. The one would allow, the House bill passed by an overwhelming House majority and expected to be taken up by the Senate before it heads to the president. So it shows there is some work being done, and the president would be expected to sign it, would encourage 401k type plans to offer annuities. I haven't looked into that. I don't know how that would be set up, so I'm not even going to give an opinion yet on it. Right now, I'm like, because in my situation, that's not what I would want. So, but I'm just telling you, that's what it would do. It would set up, would offer 401 type plans to offer annuities, which is a type of insurance contract that guarantees a monthly income as long as a retiree lives. It would also repeal the age cap for contributing to traditional individual retirement accounts, currently 70 and a half, and it would increase the age at which savers must start taking withdrawals from 401ks and IRAs to 72 from 70 and a half. Those are really the major things in that bill. I've always thought it's dumb that at 70 that you have to start taking distributions from your 401k. They moved it to 72. Personally, I would have liked if they would have just taken it away completely. But I do think the reason that they don't is because they know there's tax revenue there. Because if you're somebody who really doesn't, let's put it this way, if you're 70 years old and you don't want to take out any distributions, that means odds are you're making good on your pension, your other savings, Social Security, and you're doing fine. And it's more likely that if you take out those distributions in your 401k, you're going to be taxed on it. You don't need it. And you say, well, I don't need it to the point where I want to be taxed on it. And therefore, that's revenue to the Treasury that they're missing. And there's also that the train of thought We've discussed this one before, that wait a minute, you need to be forced to pay some taxes on it while you're alive. Because you put it into the 401k and it was before taxes. And if it's before taxes and you got to be forced to take it out while you're alive, and then if it becomes part of your estate and you fit the particular category, then we can tax it there too. But those were some of the things that are in the House. Still has to go to the Senate. I don't know what changes they would put on that. And got to give you this story, right? With all the problems in California, you see the governor was out the other day talking about the fact that how bad the homeless situation is there and trying to make it a national thing. Boy, he was in on that. There's a headline. California Senate votes to put warning labels on sodas. You must be very comforted. All of our great listeners in California, you must feel very comforted by that. Sodas and energy drinks in California would soon come with a warning label about an increased risk for diabetes and tooth decay under a bill that has narrowly cleared the state Senate. The Senate voted 21 to 11 yesterday to require warning labels on sugar-sweetened drinks that contain 75 calories or more per 12 fluid ounce. The label would be on the front of the container in bold type and separate from all the other information. The bill passed despite significant opposition from the beverage industry. Records show that American Beverage Association spent more than $273,000 since January lobbying against the bill and others. By the way, that's nothing, $273,000. Other proposals that would have taxed soda and banned big gulp-style drinks were shelved earlier this year. But they were thinking about it in California. The bill's author said the measure would do what? Come on. It would protect the children. It is for the children. So there you go. 866-90-RED-EYE.
There's a new Shell Rotella engine oil for gas engines. Shell Rotella Gas Truck is available now. Megan Pino, Shell Rotella Global Brand Manager, tells us what was behind the development and more about the product.
Obviously, Shell Rotella's heritage is heavy-duty engine oil, and that will remain our heritage. And we know that our customers work hard, but they also love to play hard. And many of our customers also own a gasoline-powered pickup truck, SUV, and perhaps as a personal vehicle or as part of the business. We also know that truck owners use their trucks for different purposes than a car, to be able to tow something, whether that's an RV or a boat for fun on the weekend, for, you know, your business, for hauling equipment. So you're doing something different with your truck than you are with a car. And so why use the same motor oil that you would in your car as your truck? There are three viscosity grades, 0W20, 5W20, and 5W30, which covers any gasoline-powered pickup truck or SUV in terms of the manufacturer recommendations.
For more, go to Rotella.com. This engine report is a service of Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the hour off. Memorial Day weekend, and breaking news, by the way, out of Great Britain this here in the last hour. British Prime Minister Theresa May announced she will resign, ending her months-long struggle to keep her job despite anger from her own Conservative Party over her handling of Brexit. This from Fox News. Quote, I believe it was right to persevere even when the odds against success seemed high, but it is now clear to me that it is in the best interest of the country for a new prime minister to lead that effort, she said outside of 10 Downing Street. Her voice breaking with emotion, she said that she is leaving with no ill will, but with enormous and enduring gratitude to have had the opportunity to serve the country that I love. May spoke outside 10 Downing Street after a meeting with Graham Brady, the head of the 1922 Committee of Conservative Party backbenchers. She said she will step down on June 7th. Her resignation will trigger a party leadership contest, and whoever wins that contest will take over as prime minister. May's announcement came the morning after Brits went to the polls to vote in the European Parliament elections, with Britain only participating due to its departure from the EU being delayed until October. Full results are not expected for days, but polls suggested her Conservative Party were expected to be punished severely for the government's handling of Brexit, with polls suggesting the Tories could receive just single-digit support. A YouGov poll for the Times of London published Wednesday found that the Tories would come in fifth place with just 7% of the vote, while the newly formed, and this party's only 4 months old, Brexit Party was predicted to cruise to victory with 37% of the polling. It's really amazing what's going on, and we'll talk more about it, I'm sure, next week as further developments come in. But the breaking news, British Prime Minister Theresa May announcing today that she will resign, ending her months-long struggle to keep her job. Anger from her own party over her handling of Brexit. Remember to keep in mind this weekend how lucky we all are that people were willing to sacrifice everything so that we may live in freedom.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.